Today is the 22nd of January, and you've joined us for the morning service of the Pineville Fellowship, Pineville House Church, located in Pineville, Missouri, in the Ozarks, in the mountains. And by way of announcements, we're going to be having a talk shoot tomorrow night at 7:30 Central Time. And I will send out everybody an announcement. I've already sent it out to most people. The topic is going to be reflections on the inauguration, our thoughts on the inauguration. I've already put some of my thoughts on sermon audio regarding the inauguration, if you want to get a little prelude. It's going to be at 7:30 Central Time, 8:30 Eastern Time, and 5:30, I think that's right, yeah, 5:30 Pacific Time. Okay, the first selection that we're going to be doing is Psalm 2 in the Psalter, and taken, of course, from the second psalm. Why do the heathen nations rage? Why do peoples folly mine? Kings of earth in plots engage, rulers are in league combined. Then against Jehovah high, and against Messiah's sway, let us break their bands, they cry, let us cast their cords away. But the Lord will scorn them all, he will laugh who sits on high, then his wrath will on them fall. Sore displeased he will reply, yet according to my will, I have set my king to reign, and on Zion's holy hill, my anointed I'll maintain. His decree I will make known, unto me the Lord did say, thou art my beloved son, I've begotten thee this day. Ask of me and thee I'll make heirs to earth and nations all. Then with iron thou shalt break, dashing them in pieces small. Therefore, kings, be wise, give ear, hearken, judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with godly fear, mingle trembling with your mirth. Kiss the Son, his wrath to turn, lest you perish in the way, for his anger soon will burn. Blessed all and on him stay.
Page 59, Psalm 119x.
59 in the Psalter. Mark, do you want to start that?
Before thee let my cry come near, O Lord, true to thy word teach me. Before thee let my pleading cry, to thy promise rescue me. To thy promise rescue me. Since thou thy statutes teachest me, O let my lips thy praise confess. Yea, of thy word my tongue would sing, for thy commands are righteousness, for thy commands are righteous. righteousness. Be ready with thy hand to help, because thy precepts are his voice. I've longed for thy salvation, Lord, and in thy holy law rejoice. And in thy holy law rejoice. Oh, let thine ordinances help. My soul shall live and praise thee yet. The straying sheep thy servant seek. For thy commands I ne'er forget. For thy commands I ne'er forget.
Okay, the next one we're going to sing is 499 out of the old school hymnal. 499, Hope Most Precious. Hope most precious in the storms of life's raging sea is an anchor to the soul, speaking peace to me, speaking peace to me of my Lord and King. Hope dispels my sorrow, speaking peace to me. Hope, though worthless to the blind, is a solid stay to the trembling child of grace, struggling on his way, struggling on his way, toiling every day. To the weary pilgrim, struggling on his way, hope when unbelief is strong and temptation sore, keeps us ever pressing on toward the blissful shore. Toward the blissful shore, where we'll die no more. Hope our guide and compass toward the blissful shore. Hope of heaven's endless climb is a prospect dear, and can never be compared to our sorrows here. To our sorrows here, fleeting pain and care. These cannot compare with endless glories there.
Well, we have talked the last couple days regarding the events going on in this country, and we've talked about the inauguration and the vile, filthy, false prophets associated with it, including Paul White, Franklin Graham, Cardinal Dolan, and whatever the rabbi's name is. His name doesn't even deserve mention, whoever he is. But it's all a part of a cabal. It's all a part of a false system, an antichrist system, which Donald Trump is endorsed by his own admission. And this is in contrast to the gospel. This is a false gospel. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is evidenced by a message that we did about a week ago on the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And as we went through the exposition of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, we found that it is a very exclusive gospel, that Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sins, and that he saw his seed, and his seed was justified in Christ, and he bore the sins of many. And we found that he had completed the work that he was sent to do by his Father. Now we're going to this morning look at something in Hebrews, a little bit further. I want to just say that there is right now such a prevalence among those who say they're Christians to compromise with Lucifer and Satan by joining the ranks of the ecumenical Kabbalah. Yeah. It's very evident what is going on, not only in Europe, but in our country and throughout the world. And we see not only the influence of the Jesuits and the Roman Catholic Church, but we also see that those who say they're Jews and they're not, those who are not inwardly circumcised of heart, are at the forefront of this propagation of Luciferian doctrine. And I can't overemphasize the fact that these Jews who say they're Jews, but they're not, say they're the chosen of God, but they're not, are quick to blaspheme our Savior. And that's why it's important to understand what their particular religion really is about and what it endorses. And it's important to study and read through the Talmud and see what it actually says about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's important to look at the Kabbalah and see what it's teaching. And it's important to understand the history of the Masonic Lodge and its relationship to the Talmud. It's important to understand the origins of Darwinian evolutionary thought. It's important to understand how heliocentrism came into our society and the fake NASA and the ongoing preoccupation with the lie that we're spinning through space 66,000 miles an hour. All of these things are relevant information, but the most relevant of all is the reality that Jesus Christ is who he said he was when he came to this earth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." That's Jesus. That's not Larry. That's Jesus. That's a quote directly from Jesus. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You cannot go through the Talmud. You cannot go through the Kabbalah. You cannot go through the Roman Catholic Church. You cannot go through signs and wonders. You can only go through Jesus Christ. Well, I want to look at again, from passages in Hebrews. You can never go wrong in studying Hebrews. And the Jews want to talk about Abraham, don't they? They talk a lot about their father Abraham, and they also talk about their father Moses. And I want to look at the 8th chapter of Hebrews. Let's start with, read verse 1. "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." That's who we have as Christians. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ, not Moses, not Abraham. We have a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now I want to go down to verse 5. Who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, thou makest all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And it wasn't the Kabbalah, and it wasn't the Talmud that he was talking about here, this new covenant. Okay? The new covenant that he's speaking about is further described in verse 10, For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and write them into their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now, does that describe the state of Israel? Are the laws of God written in the minds of those people over there? Have they been written in the hearts of those people over there? Does Netanyahu have the law of God written in his heart? They shall teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. Are they teaching that over there? Know the Lord? No, they're coming against anyone who say anything about Jesus Christ. So what are we showing by this? We're showing that they have resisted and denied the mediator that we read about earlier, this mediator. You know, we know that they're not trusting in the mediator, Jesus Christ. You know, notice what it says in Hebrews 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Now who's it speaking of by him? Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. By Jesus Christ. Are they coming by Jesus Christ? No, they are not. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. The state of Israel, and Netanyahu, and Donald Trump have rejected Jesus Christ. They've rejected him. They have put him to open shame, have they not? Isn't that true? They have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. Now I want to go back to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Verse 4, It is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again in repentance. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. That's what these people are doing. You know, they are spitting in the face of Jesus Christ. They're blaspheming Jesus Christ. I've had people say, who's that referring to? Well, it's referring to anyone who blasphemes Jesus Christ. Well, that's what they're doing in the Talmud. That's what they're doing in their religion against Christ. In fact, they hate Jesus Christ. They say he was a blasphemer himself. They say that he is, his punishment is he has to be in hell forever in excrement. That's what they say. Well, now the other question that we must ask is, who has Christ mediated for? There's a lot of people out there that try to say that Christ is mediated for everybody. He's the mediator for everybody. No, he is not the mediator for everybody. Let's go back to the 9th chapter of Hebrews and the 28th verse there. Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Netanyahu's not looking for Christ. They've denied the Messiah. They believe that they are jointly the Messiah themselves. Christ once was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. They're not looking for Jesus Christ. Now he says, for those for whom he was the mediator for, in Hebrews 10, starting with the 12th verse, for this man, speaking of Christ, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he says in verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Okay, for all of those for whom Christ died, he will not remember their sins. He will not impute their sins against them. Now I want to go over to, let's continue in the 10th chapter and look in the 29th verse. We're going to see a contrast here. He says, let's start with the verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. How many times, I don't know how many times, Netanyahu has been exposed to the gospel. I don't know how many times the Jews have heard the gospel message. Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. But it says here, in verse 27, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. That's what's going to happen to these people. They're going to be devoured. Verse 28, he that despised, okay, Moses' law, died without mercy under two or three witnesses, how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. That's exactly what these people are doing. That's exactly what these people are doing. They have trodden underfoot the Son of God. They have counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. In fact, they say that it's unholy. They have done despot under the Spirit of grace. For we know that we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Well, he ends that chapter for God's people by saying in the 29th or 39th verse, but we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now we know that faith is a gift of God. It comes to us from God. But these people have counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. And they have done despot unto the Spirit of grace. That's what they've done. Well, what a contrast between the true Christians and those who are into dispensational theology, who are promoting another gospel. Now he says in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, beginning with the 21st verse, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But if ye are not come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly. I'm sorry, let me repeat that. Ye are come unto the Mount Zion. We're not talking about Zionism here. We're not talking about physical Jews. We're talking about spiritual Zion. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And look where he goes. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You want to reinstitute animal sacrifice again? You want to count the blood of Christ of none effect? No. True Christians have subscribed to the new covenant, you know, and we speak better things than that of Abel. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. And he says in verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. You can't change it. I don't care how much you hate Christ, how much you shake your fist at Christ. We sang that song earlier, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And then finally, in Hebrews the 13th chapter, the 20th and 21st verses, we'll close out with those. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Do we have a final selection? Okay. 515 in the old school hymnal.
I have one after that, if you don't mind.
All right.
115.
Okay. Long ere the sun began his days, or moon shot forth her silver rays, salvation's scheme was fixed, was done, in covenant by the three in one. The Father spake, the Son replied, the Spirit with him both complied. Grace moved the cause for saving man, and wisdom drew the noble plan. The Father chose his only Son to die for sins that man had done. Emmanuel to choice agreed, and thus secured a numerous seed. He sends his Spirit from above to call the objects of his love. Not one shall perish or be lost, his blood has bought them dear they cost. What high displays of sovereign grace, what love to save a ruined race. My soul adore his lovely name, by whom thy free salvation came. What was your number?
115.
115. I'm going to start that mark.
Hail the blessed mercy,
the great mediator, down from the regions of glory descend. Shepherds go worship the babe in the manger. Lo, for his guard the high angels attend. Brightest and best of the sons of the morning, dawn on our darkness and lend us thine aid. Star in the east, the horizon adorning, guide where our infant Redeemer was laid. Cold on his cradle the dewdrops are shining, lowly his bed with the beast of the stall. Angels adore him in slumbers reclining, wise men and shepherds before him do fall. Say, shall we yield him in costly devotion, odors of Eden and offering divine, gems from the mountains and pearls from the oceans, mirth from the forest and gold from the mine. Lo, at his feet, he in humble prostration, lose all our troubles and sorrow and strife. There we receive his divine consolation, flowing afresh from the fountain of life. He is our friend in the midst of temptation, faithful supporter whose love cannot fail. Rock of all refuge and hope of salvation, light to direct us through death's gloomy veil. Brightest and best of the sons of the morning, dawn on our darkness and lend us thine aid. Star in the east, the horizon adorning, guide where our infant Redeemer was laid.
There's a lot of emphasis around this time of the year placed on worshiping the little infant. And Jesus Christ is no longer a baby in a manger. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He has died. He has rose again. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ that died And he is coming back as the ruling, reigning, victorious king.